And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA Show will now bring you even more content through the Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio, plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on the Athletic NBA Show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo DeKeel every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerder She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy is producing. Coming up on the show, the Bucks are back. Kawhi's future up in the air. Rumors, innuendo, and smoke screens around the draft. Team USA limping into the Olympics. And Lonzo Ball back in LA. Let's get to our two contestants in this corner. Bay Area legend, new homeowner, author of two books, count them two, about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, how was the premiere of Space Jam 2 last night, which I'm assuming you were there?
I was not there. I'm not going what? Until the 16th. I'm just a regular schmo, man. I got to go when it comes out. Like, I don't get premiere access. I'm like Baron Davis. Like, yo, my invite never came.
Oh, you don't write about LeBron enough to...
Clearly, right? Clearly not. I wasn't invited. I did, however, see the premiere of Maya Moore's 30 for 30 Breakaway.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, the air conditioning was tripping at my house last night. Like, it was something in my eye. Like, it was too...
Middleton holding on. Interesting. And he wants to take the free throw. Chris Paul upset.
Yeah.
They didn't want to take a foul, Mike. They were trying to get a trap. Can cap off another sensational game.
Wow.
Clutch free throw shooting there from Middleton. 40 points for Chris Middleton.
I have a Space Jam story. So when my cousin went to a school dance, and you know the song I Believe I Can Fly? Of course you guys know that song. There was somebody with huge ears.
Told you I never did any of these dances before.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, music starts, don't dance for the
two. Heard it, yeah.
There was somebody with huge ears, and they used to call him Dumbo. And someone asked for that song, and they played I Believe I Can Fly for the kid with the huge ears.
Oh, no.
That's tough.
Oh, that's a rough one, yeah. There's nothing you can do about that either.
So how did you handle it, Jay?
I mean, you just play on, man. You just move forward. It wasn't me with the big ears.
In that corner, with the normal-sized ears from the hard streets of Springfield, Massachusetts, Boston resident, future author of the book, From the Mid-Ainge, The Mediocre Rise and Fall of Danny Ainge, it's Jay the Kid King. Jay, question for you, Tupac or Biggie?
Tupac. Definitely.
No question.
You're going to keep asking until you get somebody who says Biggie, right? Like,
I mean, I love Tupac. I'm a West Coast guy. Biggie's better.
I just don't see it. Better at what?
Rapping.
Yeah, he's a better lyricist. That's not all rapping.
What are you talking about?
It's not all of rapping. There's other.
Well, he's better with timing. He's better with everything. It's fine.
So like, Eminem is better than most rappers at that.
No.
Is he the best rapper?
Not. No.
No, he is.
No, he's
J.R. Writer. J.R. Writer would have been elite if it was just all lyrics. J.R. Writer
would have been elite if it was just all lyrics.
All punchlines, baby.
Tupac's issue is that his producers gave him beats that do not hold up over time.
You don't think Tupac's beats hold up?
Listen to almost any of those. They're very dated.
Come on. So many tears.
I could bump
so many
those
tears is at any time. Okay,
that's one song.
Keep your head up.
That's one song out of 100.
You're still tossing it up.
His whole catalog holds up.
No, it really doesn't. I love Tupac, but his whole catalog really doesn't hold up.
It's just untrue.
Hey, you know what? He has a whole catalog to hold up, not like two albums.
Well, maybe if he got fucking murdered, Marcus, he'd have more.
Maybe if he had more of a work ethic before he got
more work ethic, he was 20 years old. Excuse him for
maybe
raising
he had
family,
taken
Marcus.
Side career to join movies and stuff. Ben Bird.
We're talking. Well, what?
That was the name of his character in Above the Rim,
Birdie,
right?
Yeah. Bird. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Birdie's Birdman. Yeah. All right. Speaking of flying too close to the sun, Jade, start the clock. Bucks are back, baby.
Back, baby.
Tonight's the night. Tonight being last night, in which the Bucks and Suns faced off in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. As usual, we have to put our Tenet headsets to go back into the future to see what happened, because we're recording this before Game 4. We know in Game 3, Giannis and Bud's Bucks got back to business and found a win, 120-100. They broke it open in the third quarter, finished the third quarter on a 16-0 run. Giannis, 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. With momentum back on their side, the Bucks have a good shot of tying this up last night at 2-2. One note here, Chris Paul's teams, 1-12 in the last 13 playoff games officiated by Scott Foster. And he was running Game 3. That one win, Chris Paul sat out. I need the conspiracy music, Jade. So, fellas, it's time to look into those crystal balls. What happened last night, Marcus? Did the Bucks come through and give us a series? Or did the Suns go ahead 3-1 and how?
Listen, it was all a dream.
Who are you quoting there? You're quoting Tupac or Biggie? Exactly.
You know what? We're 2-2. What an incredible performance by Chris Middleton. Finally broke out of his slump, gave Giannis some much needed support. You know, he was due for this. Uh-huh. His shot hadn't been there, but you know, like, this is what Chris Middleton does. Every now and then he'll break out and drop 30 piece on
you.
Of
course.
So now we got a series, right? Now we're going. We've got a classic development on our hands, and it's up to Booker and Chris Paul to respond. They'll be in Phoenix. I feel like this is going 7 after what we saw last night.
Jay, is this accurate? Did Marcus predict this properly with a 2-2, or did the Suns go up 3-1 last night?
Middleton fakes, now dribbles. Foul line jumper shot. It's good! Middleton nails another! Bucks up 2.
This game is not that complicated. Sometimes you make it too complicated.
He took the Chris Middleton game prediction straight from the mouth.
Okay.
That is exactly what's going to happen. Chris Middleton is going to have 36 points. It's going to be one of those games where he just, no matter what he does, he's just shooting jumpers over the top of people with barely any separation, just tapping campaign on the top of the head as he shoots mid-rangers over him. And Giannis isn't going to go for 40 again, but he won't need to because Middleton's going to be that good. I'm still going Bucks in six here. Bucks in six. It's going to be four straight for them. Just like they got waxed by the Raptors a couple years ago.
Does it have to be Bucks in six? That's what I'm curious about. Like if it goes seven, you giving it to Phoenix?
Yeah, I don't think they can.
It's a tough place to win.
They can do it in game seven. Although, like, there would be so much pressure on Chris Paul. He would be the one with all the pressure at that point because he spent his whole career getting to this point. And I know, like, this might be the Bucks' best chance, but Giannis, Middleton, those guys can convince themselves there's another shot for them. Chris Paul has been around so long without getting to the finals that if it gets to a game seven, like, there's a lot on his shoulders.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I can't believe you guys are so disrespectful, not recognizing the Suns went up 3-1 last night because game three was a fluke. And the Suns are just that much better, right? The Suns can beat you in any way. They can beat you going the free throw line. They can beat you hitting threes. You know, you didn't get DeAndre Ayton into cheap foul trouble last night. And it meant that, you know, Frank Kaminsky, a J. King special Frank Kaminsky, did not have to play much because we know that that's a rough one. Here's what I would do if I was Monty Williams. I would show him a bunch of tapes of like plays that he made at Wisconsin and then show him a map that he's in Wisconsin and say, try to play less shitty than you did last game. If we have to rely on Frank Kaminsky, that's what I would do. But you guys didn't know that Devin Booker coming off a bad game three. You guys didn't expect him to light up the Bucks last night like he might have done, you know, because, again, we're recording this.
I think he did.
And it didn't matter.
Up.
You think I just don't think it was enough.
Outgunned
Devin Booker.
I think Booker and Giannis, you know, X'd each other out.
What?
They were basically neutral, and it became a Chris Middleton against. So you're saying essentially that Chris Paul broke free from Drew Holiday and went off again. Because they need a second scorer. Are you saying Chris Paul showed up big time?
Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, they all did it. Cam Johnson, it's a team effort. They don't rely on one dude to save him, Marcus. It's a team effort with the Valley Boys.
The only way to spell Chris is with a K.
There's like five different ways to...
Not in this series, buddy. Not in game four.
So Chris Paul had a horrible game. Chris Paul couldn't solve the Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's mostly probably we should have our medical director come and speak to you. You guys got the bum, the coach to talk to you.
Adjustments.
The Drew Holiday pressure.
That's what we're going to go with.
That's what I'm going. All right. You give credit to Budenholzer if you want to. Go ahead. I know that's your guy.
Yeah. No, I'll be sure to give all due credit and respect to Mike Budenholzer after this series. All right. Speaking of series, a series of injuries has landed Kawhi in some trouble. Take two. Boy, it got quiet in here. Quiet in here. Quiet in here. Quiet. Okay.
Thank you. And like they said, enjoy this moment, and have fun with it.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. I don't know. The crickets were pretty loud, Jay.
I don't know why I sound so happy here. Kawhi Leonard underwent surgery on Tuesday to repair a partial tear of the ACL in his right knee. Leonard was injured during the fourth quarter of Game 4 against the Utah Jazz on June 14th. He missed the final eight playoff games with what they called a sprained knee, and they were going game to game saying, hey, we'll see. We'll let you know in game five. Oh, he's out for game five tonight. No Kawhi Leonard, when we all knew that he had a partial tear of his ACL. So Leonard's health could and likely will determine the future of the Clippers. When asked about his future back in December, Leonard said, and I quote, obviously,
if I'm healthy, the best decision is to decline the player option.
leave out the rest of this quote, so it sounds more intriguing. You'll have to look it up on your own if you want to get the full context, but that's not what we do here in the media. We take things out of context. It's spicy. So
that's an explosion. Cut, cut, cut. Oh, come on, guys. We've got one shot at this. Where's
this? Jay, this is pretty straightforward. Will Kawhi Leonard be a Clipper next season and beyond? Please decode the situation.
I think yes. To me, a lot went right for the Clippers this year. If Kawhi had been healthy, they would have had a very good chance to win a title. They got Ty Lue, who clearly was a coaching upgrade. They beat Utah without Kawhi. They pushed Phoenix without Kawhi. And Kawhi's got to be looking at that situation and saying, this is for me. He's in LA where he wants to be. The stink of that Nuggets series is long gone by now. And yes, I think he stays in LA. I don't know whether it'll be opt out and sign a huge deal or, you know, stay and then sign it next year. But he's staying. He's not going anywhere.
Marcus, what is the most Clippers scenario possible here? Is it that they bring back Kawhi? He opts out, and even though he's got the partial ACL tear, they bring him back on a 5-year max, and then he's just damaged goods the rest of the way, and he can't fully, you know, play, and he can't be that guy for them in the playoffs because the knee is in such bad shape? Or is it that he leaves? He goes somewhere like, I don't know, Dallas or Miami, and they've ended up trading all those draft picks down the road to have Paul George.
And he takes a discount.
A discount.
He doesn't even take the max. He's like, you know what? Let me save some room for team building on the Dallas Mavericks or the Miami Heat. Nah, I'm with Jay on this one. I think he stays. I actually think this is good. This is really good.
Wait, what?
He was gone.
Him tearing his ACL? Stays?
It's no. Like,
it's good.
No, like, if you're the Clippers, you want Kawhi for now, for this 1 year? And yeah, they could have won a title, but they might not have, right? And now you get him for 4 years. Now you get him for five.
I don't know. Right? After Kevin Durant blew out his Achilles and then signed a max deal, I think Kawhi should decline the option and force someone to sign him to a max deal. No one's going to be like, ooh, I don't know, Kawhi. We don't know. You're going to sign Kawhi to a max deal and then figure it out later.
It's different, man. This is a history, though. Like, this is not the first injury, and then you know you got to deal with load management. Kevin Durant won't even use the word.
Are you telling me if he declines his option, the Clippers aren't bringing
pay whatever.
The Clippers won't offer him a 5-year max?
What are the odds on Kawhi not playing next year?
I
think he's missing a chunk of the season.
He's not playing next year.
I think he might sit out the whole year.
Yeah, he's not playing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's not. I don't think he's team play through it at any cost. Like, he's not going to be out there until he's very healthy.
Right. Which with his history, he shouldn't be.
I'm cool with that. Totally cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, with his history, it's a little bit less. I don't know. Durant was more like, this is Kevin Durant. The dude is made of rubber, right? Like, he'll play. He'll be back. The question is what capacity. With Kawhi, you just don't know. Like, and even when he's back, is he back? Like, he's not all the way back. He's back for a little bit, and then he's on his load management plan. And then he doesn't say anything, right? So we'll never know what's actually happened, right?
Right, like, it's
we'll
a great mystery.
We'll never know where he actually stands, you know? Maybe we'll just have to look at the Clippers and say, you know what? Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns. As I crush so-called Willie thugs and rapper dogs. Come on, you don't even know Biggie lies! Kick in the door.
Yeah, my thing too is he's got to be seen as a part-time player from now on. Like, there will never be a time when he's a full-time 82 game or close to a player. He's going to be sit on back-to-backs. He's going to be played 30 minutes a game.
But can he be a full-time player in the playoffs?
I don't give a shit if he plays in the regular season. Like, if he plays in the playoffs, that's all I need.
And it's what? I mean, the playoff that they won a title, even he was playing through some stuff.
Yeah, he's dragging his leg.
He was really.
The question I have is, do Reggie Jackson want him back?
Does the new star, Reggie Jackson? That's a good question. We have to find out. Remember that the Clippers gave up a bunch of draft picks in order to trade for Paul George in order to get Kawhi Leonard to sign there. Speaking of draft picks, take three. Rumors, innuendo, smoke screens. It's draft time, baby. We're 2 weeks away from the NBA draft, and workouts are trickling in for teams almost as much as the trade and draft rumors. It's one of my favorite times of year. It's like Christmas to me. And as we know, Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham appears to be the number one pick, and that goes to the Detroit Pistons. But will he be a Detroit Piston? According to reports, the Rockets are very interested in Cade Cunningham. Again, it's rumors, it's innuendo, it's smokescreen, all part of the process leading up to the draft. Shams Charania of The Athletic reported that
Rockets have been very aggressive in trying to get the number one pick. They are, I was told they were infatuated.
Jade, play the tape.
Every single decision from with the four of us is we're always on the
food,
same page.
Does labor, it cause an issue?
Possibly no, fuel as people maybe cut back driving, though it doesn't seem like they're doing that right now yet.
Well, the consumer's there. That's the best thing that of all of it. Now we just got to keep the cost down. And what he, Brian said is so true, because what happens, all of your deliveries, your everybody that brings us products starts putting surcharges on us. And then the consumer starts looking, if I'm paying $5 for gasoline, maybe I can't buy up in a restaurant, or maybe I can't quite make it to a casino. So it can have a huge impact on us, but then flights start going up, so maybe people start driving to closer locations. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen it when gas goes up that it helps us, and I've seen it where it hurts us. And I don't know what's going to happen this time, but you can't have inflation and everything at one time. But we have to remember, labor has gone up, and everybody's making a little more money.
Infatuated with Cade Cunningham, but if they have anything to offer up there. You can check out my latest mock draft on The Athletic from last week. And by the way, let's get some air horns in here, Jade. We've got a new one on Friday. That's right, tomorrow, Friday, a new mock draft from yours truly right here. Houston has the second pick. I've got them going with Jalen Green from the G League. The Cavs have pick number three. I've got them going with USC's Evan Mobley. There's so much to unpack here, but I'm wondering about your thoughts, Marcus. Do you think things will go accordingly, or are we going to have a big move on draft night that shakes up the NBA?
I think the move won't be one. I think somebody's going to jump out in the top four. I just have a hard time, especially with teams like Houston, teams like Golden State, who are like, yo, let me get that number one pick up out you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let me get that pick, man. What you got? So I think that makes Detroit like, man, we keeping this thing. Like, I don't know if they move it. I do feel like in the end, they take the obvious generational talent. It's interesting because Houston, one moment it's Jalen, right? They love Jalen. And then now they're like, you know what? We really want this Cade thing. Yeah. I think this is kind of working against Detroit moving the pick. So I do think they stay. But I think we're not hearing Evan Mobley. We're not hearing like a love fest. You know what I'm saying? We're not even hearing much Suggs, the other Jalen, right? Yeah. It's almost like I can see somebody at 3-4 saying, you know what? Let me get down there. Let me drop down to 7 or something like that, which could then start generating some things. Like, for instance, the Warriors, if they somehow get to 4, now this 4 and 7 probably looks a lot better than some picks, right? Like, right. Four and like if you love Wiseman, like the Pistons did last year, it's going to take something non-conventional like that. But I'm just getting the sense, reading your mock draft and reading like the stuff around, like I don't hear Mobley's name enough. I'm expecting this dude to be like, yo, we love this guy, maybe he should be number one. It feels like nobody's saying it, and that's might be the third best player in the draft, right? That might be the number three pick.
Yeah, I feel like easily. Jalen, so I can see, I feel like Jalen Suggs has become the most underrated player in this draft.
Nobody talks about Jalen Suggs.
It's crazy to me because I had him in my first mock draft. I had him number two to the Rockets. I'm like, what a perfect lead guard to have. And there were so many people like, why would you have Suggs as this number two guy? And I'm like, have you watched this dude play? Suggs is incredible, Jay.
I'm gonna release a hot take right here.
Uh-oh.
because I know everyone is in on Cade Cunningham, and I'm in on Cade Cunningham too. I don't see any world where he really misses.
Bring it, Jay.
But Jalen Suggs would be my number one pick. Jalen Suggs would be my number one pick. If I were in charge of an NBA team, he
overcame.
Yeah, oh yeah, he is super competitive. He's an athletic freak. He gets wherever he wants on the court. He can defend. I think he'll become a shooter because that's, you know, he seems like a guy who puts in the work.
I like his shot.
And like this dude, he really like controls games, and I think he's underrated because he played on Gonzaga. And they had a loaded roster, and he wasn't asked to score 20. He wasn't asked to have, you know, 8-9 assist games all the time. But he's the best passer in the draft to me, and I would want to build a team around his energy, his enthusiasm, his athleticism. I'm all the way in on Jalen Suggs.
All right, so do we think that the 76ers are fielding offers, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. Do we think is going to be on the move by the end of draft night, or is that something that happens later on in free agency if a trade happens at all?
I'm thinking later. I think the market for is too... Which one is it? Bearish is like is great and bullish. It's
bearish is bad.
Yeah, bullish is good.
So bullish. Yeah. All right, so they're...
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, don't judge me. Like, I just got Robin Hood. Like, chill. Y'all know black folks don't be on the stock market. Like, calm down. The market for is more, and I had people telling me this, like, dude, because I was writing this, like, yo, if you keep, everybody's like, nobody's getting, the price is still going to be really high. I don't know if picks will be enough. I still think general managers are like, you know, people who think, man, if I just get him in my camp, like, I'll fix him. You know what I'm saying? I still think he's 25. He's young. He was all NBA caliber player, defensive player of the year candidate. I think it's going to take another star to move him. And I don't know if that happens at draft day. I think it might have to happen afterwards.
Here's the thing about the 76ers. They can't really just trade him for draft picks because they need someone who's really good to help Joel Embiid get to the next level.
Yeah.
You can't go out and just trade him for prospects and stuff like that.
Unless it's Suggs, right? Unless it's Jalen Suggs, right?
If they get Suggs, it's over for everyone. Curtains. No, he's going to take a little while to become, you know, that level. But to me, like, the team that makes sense, Chicago, Zach LaVine, does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I think you need to give up a lot.
Simmons and Vucevic would be a nice pairing. Like, that, they kind of make sense together.
Sounds like a six seed to me.
But, and then LaVine would give Philadelphia the shot making and creation that they've been lacking for a long time. I don't think that makes Philly a title team, but I don't see what does make Philly a title team.
How about this? How about Ben Simmons and extra stuff for Bradley Beal? Now we're talking. That's my prediction. Is that we get a Ben Simmons Bradley Beal framework for a deal.
Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook would be just
I cannot wait. What a great bit of entertainment that would be.
They would have the worst floor spacing of all time.
The local Habitat for Humanity would be off the chain. Right? Like, I don't know. I still think Portland's the best place. Like, I still feel like, yeah, I mean, the way they're looking at it, CJ McCollum is not going to be enough. But
yeah, he shouldn't be enough either. We have to remember, like, CJ Twitter is not representative of how executives feel. Like,
Ben Simmons,
if he keeps this up for about a decade, is a Hall of Famer. Like, that's not a debate. Like, if he doesn't get any better and he just keeps this for a decade, he's a Hall of Famer.
What's weird about it is you need to get significantly better by moving
Ben Simmons.
And if you do move him, you miss so much of what he does.
Yeah.
Like he's legitimately one of the five best defensive players alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's a plus, plus, plus passer. And he's 6'10". So if you move him for a guard, all of a sudden your supersized defense, which makes you so tough to begin with, changes drastically.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to find a fit that actually pushes the needle in Philly. But they've also gone so far, like, with guys bashing him after the playoffs, that they kind of need to trade him at this point. They've pushed themselves into that corner, and I think they kind of have to trade him. They should have done it 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
They just need a little company retreat, a little staff.
What I'm learning is fellowship. It's bad to get defensive player of the year or be in the running for it, because we don't care about 2.5 or 2.7 anymore. We just don't.
Yeah, all they need is a little team retreat to mend old fences, you know. Play some biggie, you know what I'm saying?
Just party and bullshit, you know? Just have a little, you see what I did there? All right. Speaking of bullshit, take four. What the hell just happened to Team USA? Team USA bounced back Tuesday night with a 108-80 victory over the Ghost of Argentina national team. This following back-to-back losses to Nigeria.
Like that.
He's 41 years old. No, this is following back-to-back losses to Nigeria and Australia earlier in the week. What? How did that happen? As Yahoo's Chris Haynes wrote, quote, "The outcomes in these friendlies have either been termed an embarrassment or a wake-up call. Whatever is the proper descriptor, Team USA realizes more than ever that premium talent alone will not be enough to earn gold this summer."
Okay, what do you want? I'm so tired of you.
Is this loss something or nothing?
What went wrong for you guys tonight?
What went wrong for us?
Yeah, this afternoon. Sorry.
Did you watch the game?
They played better than we did.
What do you think?
Yet, because of what Popovich said.
Tell them to jump higher and move quicker. And we'll tell Kevin, don't be so good.
When we start messing around.
They looked, they had more grunt. They had more physicality.
That worked as far as a change. Is that something?
I thought he was great. He's somebody that can, they have to guard. We've got a few players that they don't guard.
Not hard, right? No, that's starting five. Would be a best starting five. And it will be. Steph Curry and James. What do they have? Kawhi Leonard and even AD. What I said from the beginning is...
Stupid. Obviously, Team USA is still getting things together. Fatigue and other factors are probably good reasons why Team USA has struggled thus far. But is there cause for concern? And remember, they still have a couple of members playing in the NBA Finals that still have to make the trek over to Team USA. So, Jay King, are you worried about Team USA getting the gold?
No, I'm not still at this point. I think once they get Booker, once they get Middleton, once some of their depth issues go away, and then once a lot of these guys learn how to play with each other, they've barely had any practice time so far. They've still got time to get used to each other. And I think they have to get used to each other, because it's like Damian Lillard, it's Tatum, it's Kevin Durant, three guys that need the rock, love the rock, and need to score. But I
looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do think the problem with Team USA is an arrogance that you could waste a roster spot on Kevin Love, an arrogance that you can
put. Yo, he was terrible in the Argentina game. I was watching that earlier.
For two or three years.
Was awful. Like, he was awful.
They give Kevin Love a sympathy spot on this team for his history with the team, whatever. He shouldn't be there. And that's Team USA, the architects of them, saying we can win no matter what, even if we waste a roster spot on this guy. And there's an arrogance there. And I take offense to the thought that the rest of the world has caught up. Like, they just lost to Patty Mills. The rest of the world is the same as it's been for 10 years.
Hey man, it's
Luis Scola starring for teams. It's Patty Mills. Like, these guys on Nigeria haven't caught up to Team USA. They're like two-way players, Gabe Vincent and stuff. Like no, the talent has not caught up. It's everything else. But you do have to play together, and you do have to play with the right mindset. And I do think there's something to what Popovich said about how these guys have to get back in shape after taking a little bit of time off after the regular season.
What went wrong for us?
So I'm not really worried about them long term, but I do think that the mindset there has to change, and they have to, like, you can't just give roster spots away,
right,
and then lose to Nigeria and Australia and stuff. Like, it's just such a bad look.
Marcus, I do wonder, because you have Dame on there, you have KD, you have Bradley Beal, you'll have Devin Booker at some point. When it gets to a tight game and you look at the basketball in those moments, like, you're going to ask who shot you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big reference.
It is, and it's a kind of a rough one for a Pop fan. You know what I'm saying?
It's a tough one. Well, like, it's a tough one for both of them at this point, you know?
But the best part about it is the opposing defense. The opposing defenses are, you know, ideally should be looking, you know, at the amount of weapons and feeling like, you know, they're a bit high, right? It should be like, you know, people know who's the mind blower, the weed grower. Have you seen doubles like Noah? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like that. I do think that's one of the problems, though. The construction of this team is unique, right? It's a bunch of bucket getters. It's a bunch of dudes who are used to being the man, but they haven't yet been on Team USA and know what it's like to have to subvert that, right? Remember how, like, all these stars would get on Team USA and then Melo would be the one, man, right? And everybody was cool with it. Right, like they've got to learn how to get.
But that's back when they were blowing out Nigeria by 83 points. Yeah. They didn't have to worry about who's taking the shots.
But that's the thing. I think Jay is right. It's not much different than it was 8 years ago, yeah. Right? But the thing that's still the same is that you're not beating these teams just by showing up. You actually have to play mm-hmm. well, right? You got to play well to beat them. So if they play well, they will beat them. But they got to get to the part where they're playing right. Well. And you can just see it. They need some of these guys. Bradley Beal, not running back on defense. He just got to change his mindset for Team USA. And even like LeBron and Kobe and them, they had to do it, right? We saw Jordan do it. Like everybody gets to Team USA and they realize, okay, what's my role? Players like Draymond Green kind of know it. They're already in it. And they don't have a lot of players like that. They got a lot of star. So I just think it's a matter of time. I will say this, though. If they start messing around in Tokyo, like, they will get bumped.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
It will go down. Like, clear. That's the risk of it. Yeah, that's the risk of it. But if they play well, they should be fine. Like, the question is, can Pop get them to play well? This is all on Popovich, you feel me? Spend less time going off on Joe Vard.
Whoa!
More time getting your team together.
Whoa! Is Pop on – is he on the Olympic hot seat?
He does. I will say, Pop,
I mean, literally, he is right. He's out.
Pop, this has not made duck. Pop look great. The seventh place finish 2 years ago.
No,
the
man.
Losses to Nigeria and Australia. Nothing will change his legacy at all. But it doesn't make him look great.
You know
to what Marcus
here?
Said. I think Draymond and Bam are two of the most important players on the team
mm-hmm.
because they're the two guys who can facilitate that ball movement, that player movement, and just really make things easier for everybody else. And kind of put those other guys into a role where it's easier for them. And I think Draymond and Bam, running offense through them, as weird as it sounds, because those guys are two of the worst offensive players on the team probably, but because of their passing, because of all the dirty stuff they do, because they don't care if they score, I think those guys are super important to this team.
For sure. You know, we're learning.
This is Mike Brown's team moving forward, just so you know. Like, Mike Brown taking over team.
We're learning that we had a Bill Belichick, Tom Brady situation in San Antonio. We just never knew it. It was all Tim Duncan, baby. It was Greg Popovich. Look what's happened. They've fallen apart. Team USA can't win.
Bring Tim Duncan to Team USA. They'll win.
I mean, look how much he's held back Patty Mills over the years.
Exactly. Oh, wait. Tim Duncan was on the 04 team, right? Yeah. Maybe. We'll cut that.
With Mike Brown as his head coach.
That's true. That's true. All right. Take five. Ball back in L.A. Mark Stein reported in his Substack newsletter that the Lakers are seeking to add a playmaker that would allow LeBron James to spend more time at power forward and Anthony Davis to spend more time at center. A number of obstacles stand in the way of this happening, but we've seen LeBron and Rich Paul pull a rabbit out of the hat before, so to speak. And according to Sean Strani of The Athletic, New Orleans is reportedly unlikely to match a significant offer sheet for Lonzo Ball when he hits the open market this August, further adding to the intrigue here. Around the trade deadline, Ball's father, LeVar Ball, who you may remember, expressed that he wished his son would be traded away from the Pelicans. The Bulls are also among teams interested in Ball in his summer's free agency, according to The Athletic. The Knicks have also been linked to the point guard. The Bulls were rumored to trade for Lonzo Ball at the deadline. So, Marcus, where will Lonzo land by the beginning of next season? Will it be either LA team? Will it be New York, Chicago, Orlando?
I'll tell you where it'll be. It'll be Golden State and a sign and trade for Kelly Oubre. Let's go! 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 Go!
That would be for the Pelicans. Kelly Oubre wants $20 million a year.
Yeah, so you sign Kelly Oubre for $20 million. He's going home. Kelly Oubre going home to New Orleans. Lonzo Ball get to play with Steph. Mm-hmm. Why would you even think he's going to LA right now? Come on, he's going. Hey, Lonzo, come holler to the Bay. They got to make up for the fact that they didn't take LaMelo. Mm. Right? So. Lonzo to the Bay. I'm telling you, here it goes. Orleans, they tried to trade for him already.
New Orleans needs to keep Lonzo. Lonzo is a great fit next to Zion Williamson.
Agreed.
Lonzo is a point guard who doesn't need the ball. He's a point guard with size. He's a point guard who loves to get out in transition.
And defense.
He can defend.
He's a good shooter. Yeah, he's a good shooter.
He is such a great fit next to Zion Williamson. To me, the guy who doesn't fit there is Brandon Ingram. And the quicker they learn that, the better.
Brandon Ingram taking shots.
Yeah, too many shots. Too many shots. That's Zion's team. They need dudes to be able to shoot. They need dudes to be able to space the court. And they need dudes to let Zion rock. And Brandon Ingram is not that to me.
But the Lakers could really use Lonzo, to be fair. I mean, just rely. I like Caruso. I like KCP. Yeah. But those dudes aren't. They aren't frontline guys. In the West next year, it's going to be even harder. It's going to be even more daunting. They're going to need a third player. And I do feel like that's a fertile ground for Lonzo to get better, to like expose his game. There's just moments where it's like you could tell LeBron wants to give the ball up. Right? Like, yo, somebody else, rock this. Right? Yeah. Like, I'm 36. Like, just, you know, rock this. I can't do like 40% of usage rate. And there's nobody. Like, he's literally putting the ball in the hands of Caruso.
Like, this is a
disaster. It's not. I think it's perfect for Lonzo because, like you say, he's become a good enough shooter to spot up off the ball, right? Yeah. Like, that's where he's really good at. He can knock down a spot up shot.
Last two seasons, 850 three-point attempts, 37.6% from three. That's good.
And he's higher spot up, too. His spot ups are even better. So he can space, and he can be effective off the ball when LeBron has the ball, and he can switch. Like, LeBron can say, yo, you got this. Mm-hmm. I think they need that badly. They need somebody who can also guard ones, right? You can cook them dudes, right? And LeBron is just like, yo, I'm not doing this fourth quarter. I'm guarding the point guard anymore. Like, you hold your spot or you don't, right? Like, I'm not chasing Dame anymore. Like, I'm done with that part of my career. He just fits in so many ways that I do feel like they should do what they can to get
him. I think most importantly, too, that he fits with Alex Caruso, too, right? So that's the most important thing, is you can play those two together. Yeah. The true star of the Lakers.
The face of the Lakers. Yeah. I'm not saying Kemba would be a great fit for the Lakers, but I do want to see if someone gets desperate and tries to do what it takes to get Kemba from Oklahoma City. Because the Thunder don't want him. Like that's very clear. The Thunder don't want him. His contract isn't great. He wasn't great last year. But Kemba could still be a difference maker somewhere. Like, he's still got some game left. And I want to see if someone gets desperate enough this offseason to convince Presti to give him up.
It's going to be the Knicks. You know, he's destined for a return home. That or the Clippers, right? Clippers love collecting those type of players.
But Reggie like, changed things. Reggie can't have another Reggie point guard next to him anymore.
They keep Reggie? They gotta pay Reggie. Gotta pay him.
That's gonna do it. Yeah, I mean, you know what they say, more money, more problems. That's gonna do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network, House of Strauss, Warriors Plus Minus, No Dunks, and many more.
The six specs.
For Jay King, Marcus Tosta, Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic.
Shivering, some deliberate chills up that spine. Biggie was nice, yo. Yo, Biggie was nice.
Reggie Jackson, batting .272 for Oakland. 17 homers, he's bounced back this year, 41 runs batted in. A fine all-around player. Defensive outfielder, base runner, and thrower. And of course, real power, especially for this ballpark, is right side. Aparicio on first, nobody out. Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter at San Diego in June of 1970. He walked eight in that game, hit a batter. He still pitched a no-hit, no-run game. There's a long drive. That one is going way up. It is off the roof. That hit the transformer up there. A tremendous smash. Only eight players have hit the ball over the roof here in Detroit. And Jackson nearly did it then out of the ballpark.
It's been done 13 times, Kurt. Norm Cash has done it the most, four times. Mantle has done it three. Williams has done it. But that one was really a smash. More toward right center field. Longest ball ever to be hit out in that area was estimated at 560 feet by Norm Cash. What a smash.
Tony, remember the home run we saw him hit in Minnesota year before last? It measured 500 and some feet off the top of the scoreboard there in the Twin Stadium.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.